Well, it sure is a lot of enthusiasm in this feast, that's for sure. But, you know, some of us fall a little short there. So, Rita, would you try to encourage Matt on some more enthusiasm? I can't make up my mind where I want to wear my glasses. I take them on and put them off. And kind of the way when I met Sherry, I couldn't make up my mind. So finally I put my glasses on. Yeah, I do. Yeah, well, Sherry and I, we really do enjoy this feast site. It's just tremendous, the fellowship, like Nate pointed out, and like was mentioned in the opening prayer, the people here. Larger feast sites, it's a different kind of fellowship. You just don't get around to everybody, and you miss out. And here, you have good time with all the people here. And another thing I've noticed, someone, I think it was Ken, mentioned you only come here once a year. Well, you know, we that just come here once a year, we see the growth you people have made. And really, I was really astonished. And Sherry made the same comment. I was surprised that she said that too. But boy, I have seen a lot of growth in you people since I was here last year. And so it makes me think, I got to go home and start growing and catch up here. Well, Mr. Ledger told me that since yesterday was an open date, we had a free day, that today you get a double portion. So after service and we go have dinner, we'll come back and do part two. Okay, just kidding. But also I want to echo about the CD program. We get the tapes, the CDs at home, and they're just outstanding. Really are. The sound quality is great. And speaking of the CDs, I want to welcome those that will be listening to the CDs that won't be here. For example, Sherry's dad, my father-in-law, he had a stroke and hadn't been able to come the last couple of years. So he'll be listening to this CD. So hello, Mr. Steck and Rose and all the others that's out there that were not able to be here. Okay, I have a free story, a true story. Matt told me before I came in to be sure and tell the truth. So, okay, I'll try to tell this off the top of my head since it was true. I was raised in Louisiana. Most of you might know that from my accent, but it's, even though I've been in Idaho 23 years, I still have it. But I took my first job in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, as a health inspector. And so during break time, everyone was talking about deer hunting. Deer season was open, and they got done telling their stories. They got around to me. I was new, and they said, "Kaz, do you deer hunt?" "Oh, yeah." He said, "Well, did you go this weekend?" "Yes." "Well, tell us about it." So it so happened that I'd been on this deer stand all day and hadn't saw nothing. And I was getting bored and about ready to go. And I looked down the hill, and there was a deer, but it was out of range. And I thought, well, if I move, he's going to run off. So I just raised my gun up, and it was so far, I raised up a little bit higher, pulled the trigger, and that deer jumped straight up. Not like Elijah, who kept going and going, but, you know, he jumped so high. And so I went down there, and sure enough, I found some blood. And I trailed it up, and I found the deer. And the only wound the deer had was just above his hoof, just about a half inch above his hoof. And he bled to death. And so they didn't believe me. And so you know how Southerners are. If you tell the truth and they don't believe it, well, you know, you come back with something else. So So next week they were telling their stories, and this is what I had for them. They said, "Okay, Kaz, did you shoot another deer in the foot?" And so I told them, I said, "Well, let me tell you what happened." And I was on this deer stand, and after a while I heard something. I looked, and yeah, there was a deer coming, but he was too much in the bushes, and so I saw an opening the way he was headed, and I said, "He goes in that opening, I'm going to get him," even though it was a pretty good long shot. And sure enough, he hit that opening, and I went, pow! Down he went. So I thought, that's such a good shot, I'm going to step it off and see how far it is. I stood my gun up against a pine tree, and I started stepping it off. 1, 2, 77, 78, 79, 80. And I looked up, and the deer was running off. And my gun was back up here, 80 yards back. So I had my hunting knife, you know, like Cleek carries around with him. And I took off after that deer, and he was wounded. You know, he couldn't get far. And I caught up with that deer after about 15 minutes, finished him off, and I come back up to get my gun, and got a little about halfway up there, and I looked over there, and there's the deer I'd shot. And so they all looked at me and says, "You run down a wild deer?" I said, "Well, y'all wouldn't believe the truth, so I thought maybe you'd believe a lie." Okay, so they didn't ask me if I any more about shooting a deer in the foot. Okay, if you need a title, I have a title. Prophecy from Here to Eternity. That goes a pretty far piece. Well, I'm sure everyone is concerned about the downward spiral of our country, about the recovery of the economy and, you know, the high rate of unemployment. But you know what? It's not about the economy. It's not about health care. It's about God. You know, a day of national repentance, wouldn't that be great? Just think about that. But no, they won't do that. People are not thinking of that. But they're thinking about, when will the economy get better? What does God say about that, see? Seek first the kingdom of God, you know? See, it's about God. If you do that, things will get better. As ancient Israel was punished over and over and over for going after foreign gods and turning their backs on God, it's going to be that way with our country if it don't repent of its corruption and turning away from God. But instead, our country goes deeper and deeper into corruption and ungodliness. Yes, we're headed into destruction and captivity. Our country is missing the point. Unless America repents, it will, you know, get much worse. You know, after 50 billion abortions, we worry about saving the polar bear. See where our priorities are? Boy, they're way out there. Now, we have been promised change. Well, God wants us to change, but man is not willing for that kind of change, sadly to say. God has a plan for that change. He's going to teach mankind a lesson once and for all. So as we watch our nation go down, we can pray for repentance. But if the USA does not repent as a whole, down it will go, as prophesied. Today, let's look into our Bible. Let's look into Bible prophecy and see what lies just down the road. the Bible and prophecy say the whole world will be keeping the Feast of Tabernacles during the millennium. Of course, the Feast of Tabernacles pictures the millennium. The feast is the highlight of the whole year. It's what we're doing right now. It's our highlight. You get to fellowship with people like Matt and Mr. Ledger and Rich here. I've really enjoyed being with all of you. And you know why we're here? We're here because we're commanded to keep the feast. We're here because we're obeying God. And we're here because we love God. That's good. Prophecy is important. Do you have any idea how important prophecy is? Let's look at Revelation chapter 1 to start off with. That's the last book in your Bible. And it's the first chapter of that book. Revelation chapter 1 and down in verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show his servants things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John. Now down in verse 3. Verse 3. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. Okay, verse 1 said, God gave the prophecy to Christ to show his servants. That's us. So this is important. Now in verse 3 it said, did you catch that in verse 3? Do you want to be blessed? Let's read it again. It says, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy. Okay, why do we have prophecy? I have three reasons I've come up with. Number one, the purpose of prophecy is to encourage people to repent and escape punishment. Number two reason, well, if they don't repent at first, then when punishment comes, hopefully they will repent and turn to God. The third reason, it announces the coming government and kingdom of God. What's the next thing to happen in Bible prophecy? There are seven seals of prophecy mentioned in Revelation. The first four seals have been broken already. Next is the fifth seal. The fifth seal is the beginning of the tribulation period and includes the martyrdom of saints. Later, has those sheets been passed out? Oh, okay. Everybody? Good. Later we'll go over some of that. Now, the New World Order, or it's also known as One World Government movement, has gained steam. It's coming on strong. World leaders have not learned enough lessons of the past. The Bible tells us that lessons are not being learned, and things will only get worse as we draw near the end of the age. Well, turn with me to 2 Timothy, chapter 3. We'll see where that's mentioned. 2 Timothy, chapter 3, and verses 1 to 5. Chapter 3, verse 1. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, and it just goes on down and lists all these things. And down in verse 5 it says, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away. Now the prophecies of this Bible do not agree that some one world government will bring peace and prosperity for all nations. This is a false hope. In the coming end time, the world will be given false hope. just as the world will have a false Messiah fostered upon it. Satan has his counterfeits out there. Speaking of counterfeits, I want to tell you something I did. When the church started going, you know, dropping the commandments, dropping the holy days, and doing all kind of bad stuff. Well, you know, you're supposed to be good stewards of your money, so I didn't know what to do with it. And but the point is, the thing I want to tell you about counterfeits, Satan has a bunch of counterfeits out there. I went to the dollar store and bought me some play money. And I still had some of those envelopes, tithe envelopes. And I put the play money in there with a message. It says, "You reap what you sow. Counterfeit religion reaps counterfeit wages." I did that until I ran out of play money. And I didn't want to go back to the dollar store and spend another dollar. So Satan had these counterfeits out there. God has the coming government and kingdom of God. Therefore, Satan has the one world government run by human leaders that Satan influences. Of course, the kingdom of God will be ruled by Jesus Christ. And you're invited to help. Isn't that something? Almighty is inviting us to take part in this. Well, from the time of Nimrod, false messiahs have come forth promising peace and prosperity by uniting the people under one world system and one set of laws. Nations just won't cooperate to solve their problems, including the problems of the poor. Tons of food is sent out to the poor people, never gets to them. That's the kind of government man is. Never reach the poor. Can a government of man succeed rather than the government of God? What a contrast. Will a new world government teach people to obey and trust God and to be happy with what God has given them? A new world government is coming and nothing is going to stop it. Why? Because God is allowing Satan to set this up to bring about the great tribulation. As Israel went into captivity and later Judea, and now it's about to happen again because we are Israel and we've turned our back on God. Speaking of our country as a whole, you know, knowing the identity of Israel is the key to prophecy. If you talk to somebody out there, man, they just can't get it. You can explain it to them, and well, they don't understand who Israel is. Actually, that country over there called Israel should be called Judah. Now, I told you about the fifth seal. Let's take a look at each of the seven seals. The first four seals have been broken long ago as the false horse of false religion. I mean, the white horse of false religion has been galloping down through the ages as the red horse symbolizes war, the black horse of famine, and the pale horse of pestilence. It's been going on. Well, let's note that in Matthew 24, and starting in verse 4 and 5. Matthew 24. Verse 4. "And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many.'" So there's your white horse, false religion. Well, these four horses have been and are still galloping out there, but as we approach the end time, they're going to greatly accelerate. You think these horses have been in full gallop? Well, you just wait a little bit longer. They're going to run roughshod over this world, over mankind. Now, that was the first through the fourth seals, all broken. The first four seals are broken. Now, the fifth seal that I mentioned, that is what's next to occur. It is where we are right now, waiting to be opened. It brings on the great tribulation, which includes martyrdom of the saints. Let's read that in Revelation chapter 6. I meant to bring a bookmark so it'd be easier to do this. Revelation chapter 6. Let's start down in verse 9, 10, and 11. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? And a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer, until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. Now all of the apostles were martyred except John. Well, some of us it won't be martyred. The Bible does say something about some of us being protected. Well, let's see Revelation chapter 12. Just jump over to chapter 12, down in verse 6. I'm going to wear this Bible out. Down in verse 6. Then the woman fled into the wilderness. Of course, you know, the woman pictures the church, the bride of Christ. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,266 days. Most of us feel like that's 144,000. Let's also read, drop on down to verse 14. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nourished for a time, times and a half time from the presence of the serpent. Okay. Now the sixth seal shows the heavenly signs. The sun and moon become dark. Let's see that in Revelation 6. Turn back a few chapters. Revelation 6, verse 12 to 14. This is where the sixth seal comes in. I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth, as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. They had three more earthquakes yesterday, 7 point something in that same location. I just got a glimpse of it. I didn't get to see all about it. Okay. Now, also, I just want to turn over to Matthew 24 and read that on verse 29, too. Matthew 24, verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. You notice that it said they will see the Son of Man. It's not going to be no secret. Everybody is going to see. You know, there's no secret about it. No secret rapture. Yeah. They're going to all see him. You can see that too in Joel 2:31, but we won't go there right now. Now comes the seventh seal, which is the seven trumpets. I got so busy telling jokes, I forgot to button my coat. Easy to get distracted, you know. We have to be on our P's and Q's. So the seventh seal, which is the seven trumpets, and we will see the seventh trumpet broken down into seven plagues. It's also called golden bowls. Now you can see that in your chart that I passed out. We'll go over that briefly. Lack of time to go through it. Each scripture will be time consuming. But read with me chapter 16 of Revelation, verses 17 and 18. Chapter 16, down in verse 17. Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, "It is done." And there were noises and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake. Such a mighty and great earthquake had not occurred since men were on the earth. Whoa. I got a little bit something else out of that, jumping to a different topic, but it's an indication there that there were earthquakes on the earth before man. Read that part again. There was a great earthquake, such as mighty and great earthquake as had not occurred since men were on the earth. Okay, now back to the seventh trumpet. Now at this time, the nations are angry and are involved in world war. At the time of Christ's return, God unleashes the seven last plagues. God's wrath is completed with these seven last plagues. Turn to Revelation 15:1 while we're still in Revelation. Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is complete. And of course, you can see in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 52 that Christ returns at the seventh trumpet, the last trumpet. Now, the great false church and daughter churches that deceive the nations are pictured in chapter 17 and 18. The seven last plagues are God's judgments against this false religious system, Babylon. While we're here in Revelation, I'll read Revelation 18 and verse 8. Therefore, her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. Now, verse 10. Standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, "Alas, alas, that great city, Babylon, the mighty city, for in one hour your judgment has come." Our country, the USA, is in Babylon today and very much deceived. Jeremiah 50, we can turn there. Jeremiah 50, verses 4 and 8. Talked about that too, our country being deceived. And Jeremiah 50, starting in verse 4 to verse 8. In those days, in that time, says the Lord, the children of Israel shall come. They and all the children of Judah together, with continual weeping, they shall come and seek the Lord their God. They shall ask the way to Zion, with their faces toward it, saying, Come and let us join ourselves to the Lord in a perpetual covenant that will not be forgotten. My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray. That was those people I sent in play money to. Their shepherds have led them astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place. All who found them have devoured them. And their adversaries said, We have not offended because they have sinned against the Lord, the habitation of justice, the Lord, the hope of their fathers. Verse 8. Move from the midst of Babylon. Go out of the land of the Chaldeans and be like rams before flocks. We are God's people, Israel, in Babylon today. As Israel was in Egypt when God's plagues hit Egypt. And God calls us out and tells us in Revelation 18, verse 4, saying, Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sin. And lest you receive of her plague. So you need to get out of there if you don't want her plague. Now in Revelation 20 verse 4 it shows the 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth. Let's go back to Revelation 20 and verse 4. Chapter 20 and verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they that sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witnesses, for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Well, let's see what our part is in the 1,000-year reign. Revelation 5 and verse 10. Chapter 5 and down in verse 10. And have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Well, that's our part. You've been invited. Now, we are not yet in eternity. But when God the Father makes his home with us, we will be. Let's see that in John 14, 23. John 14, down in verse 23 of chapter 14 of John, Jesus answered and said to him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. There you are. So no, you know, it's not about economy. It's not about health care. It's about God. Now I have a scripture here. Yeah, I'm going to give you one final scripture. Revelation 21, verse 1 to 3. Revelation 21, verses 1, 2, and 3. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them, and he, their God. So we will forever be with the Lord throughout all eternity. So that is prophecy from here to eternity. Wait, I have an assignment for you before I... You can complete it by the time I go back to my seat. Very simple. It's a no-brainer. The assignment is turn to Revelation chapter 22 and read verse 7.